BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening. Hello everyone and welcome to another BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG and I also work clinically as a nurse consultant. So today I have great pleasure in introducing a well-known figure in the BDNG and the world of dermatology nursing is Nicola Howsam, who is now a nurse consultant and also a very dear colleague and friend as well. So welcome Nicola today to the BDNG podcast.
Good morning, Tina. Look forward to this one.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for your time, because I know how busy you've been setting up the service down in Plymouth as well. So we really appreciate that. So today we're going to talk biologics, probably one of our favourite topics. And we are under immense stress. Immense pressure in the NHS at present to see probably as many patients as we possibly can. You know, we have long waiting lists, we're under pressure from management, we're under pressure from above, and you have come up with some solutions. So I'm really interested to hear about how the background about this first, and then we can go on to the actual clinics themselves and how it is all working out for you. So can you just explain, Nicola, the thought process behind the new biologic clinics that you've set up?
Yeah, so it sort of started off when I moved to Plymouth and was looking at the biologic service, and it was just chaos. It was just chaos because we all know, you know, over thousands of patients on biologic advanced novel therapies. And that when I got down here, the staff were just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
The consultant was trying her best to sign prescriptions, but there was just that clinical risk. The prescription didn't match when the patient appointment was. She was just doing virtual signing and patient may have been seen, may have had, it was all a may, it was all just up in the air. And I was like, we've got to think of a better way to do this, because it's not safe for the patients. It wasn't safe for the staff. Yeah. The two girls that try and help their health cares, because we don't have a proper biologic coordinator. I'm working on that. And it just felt like everybody was only sort of hanging on by the sort of fingernails. And I just sort of thought, I'd step back and think, we must come up with a better way of doing this. So that's sort of where it came from, really.
Absolutely.
I'm sure the service is not on its own. I'm sure this is mirrored everywhere, because we've got more and more and more patients, which is brilliant, starting advanced therapies because it's so much safer and it's better for them. But it's how then do you deal with that, with the ramifications of what the guidelines say you should do. So there was a bit of a conflict.
Gap. Yeah. Absolutely. And like you say, you know, I think, you know, speaking to many people and myself included, you know, we are under, you know, a lot more patients than we maybe had 3 or 4 years ago. Especially now with the biosimilars, cheaper medications coming out, can make a big difference as well.
Massive difference. And I think that truly when you look at the NHS plan, they want us to now stop seeing as many follow-ups. So that's a big conflict as well. So it's managing those. And we know if we don't see new patients, they're the ones suffering.
Yeah.
So those follow-ups are probably fine, or they'd be ringing you. But actually, we're, you know, new patients who are massively struggling and waiting on the waiting list for long periods of time. So it was about how we could manage all of that, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone deserves treatment, and it's heartbreaking when they're coming in, you know, and we're still seeing people in the 70s that have had basic treatment and, you know, still on their first biologic, which is really heartbreaking. So I'm going to start right a little bit at the beginning with the biologics. So obviously you've explained really well, you know, the need for these clinics, and you mentioned there about a biologics coordinator. So it sounds like you've had various people involved in biologics. So can you just explain who's involved in biologics and who is sort of coordinating at the moment and the need for your biologics coordinator?
So at our site, obviously, we've got very short on consultants, as most places are. Nobody really wants to come and work down in the southwest. So, there's a couple of consultants who are half-heartedly involved, let's say. There was obviously then myself, and I've got a Band 6 CNS, and a newly appointed now trainee ACP. So that's come into the mix. But also is the gold stars in this is we've got two health cares that take it in turns to do some biologic administration. Not had any formal training or anything, but so they alternate 1 week, one does it, 1 week the other. So they still do clinical. So they alternate it. So they keep the hands in clinically, the health cares. But there wasn't anybody doing a proper admin role. It just didn't exist.
So when you talk about the healthcare assistant, are they like coordinating
The
the
prescriptions, yes.
prescriptions
Yeah,
and
so
the
they're the
PDs? Yeah.
yeah, they're the sciences coordinate or home care and pharmacy. When we do a new prescription, they're the one that's scanning it and keeping all that sort of healthcare side. But the other side, like booking appointments and timing the prescription, they just didn't have the time to do it all, you know, because they
Yeah.
are clinical as well. So
Yeah.
bless them, those two were doing the role, but it wasn't very well defined what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were just doing their best for the patients, but needed some definition to the role.
Wow. Yeah, it is. It's tricky. And like you mentioned, we know colleagues that have got biologic coordinators, and it does make a huge
Huge, yeah.
huge difference.
And I've
And
been applying for some funding to get one.
fabulous, fabulous. And is that through the hospital or is that through other sources?
Another source. Yeah, we're trying to
Yeah.
get an external source for a year,
Yeah.
in the hope that then that will backfill and then we can do the business plan that proves that the role's actually needed. So that's how we're approaching it here.
Wonderful. That's really good news. So you mentioned as well, obviously we're under pressure with the new plan and everything to, see as many new patients as possible because that's what they're interested in above. And the fact is that we've still got all this massive cohort of biologic patients. And you mentioned about follow-ups. So how have you streamlined your clinics? How have you defined the clinics?
So my initial thought was when we look at the clinical guidance that's out there, that's very old. We know it's very old and it is guidance at the end of the day. I was thinking we've had many years of experience now. We know from BADB and from ASTAR registers that these drugs actually don't require the follow-up that's on that old-fashioned spreadsheet. And this is what I was thinking. Why are we seeing? It's lovely. I'm ringing them up and going, yes, are you all right? Yes, I'm grand. Happy days. And I was thinking it's a waste of an appointment. So my initial thing I had to do was why are we signing prescriptions every 6 months? Why can't these prescriptions last a year or the 48 weeks as per the home care thing? This is silly. So I did an application to the Drugs and Therapeutics Committee, sent them the data from BADB and ASTAR to say how safe these medications were, saying, as a trust, are we willing to move to annual prescriptions? That was agreed. So that's what you have to be able to do first. There's no point sort of changing because if you're doing a prescription every 6 months, the workload is ridiculous.
Huge.
So
Yeah.
once patients have been on this medication over a year, they're stable, they're doing well, annual prescriptions. So that was my first hurdle. That was done. It was an easy win. So now what we've done is we decided in Plymouth, they have a polyclinic for cancer patients. So it's like a hub and spoke. So a consultant is in one room. They have a team of trainees, juniors, health cares, and then they have the patients in all the rooms. So you put patients in all the rooms with their questionnaire. You have a health care preparing them or one of the junior trainees, things like that. And then the consultant will go in and assess the lesion. And that's how it's done. And then the health care or the trainee can do all the paperwork. And all the consultant is doing, going reviewing the lesion, saying yes, no, safe, chop out sort of thing. And I said, right, we can do this for biologics patients. Why don't we have me as the hub? So I'm the
Yeah.
hub. And then I have a team of health cares, band sixes, band fives. Sometimes we get the trainee doctors involved, the junior regs and stuff. But we do it by telephone. So rather than the patient coming in, because this isn't a lesion, I don't need to see it,
Yeah.
they're doing it by telephone. So I'm the hub, I have a team of five others. And then we have the list of patients and a telephone checklist. So they come to me, I have the list of everybody that's booked on that day, and those patients that are booked are actually due their prescription. So the list that
Okay.
comes from the home care teams, we generate the clinic. So this clinic happens every week. So we know that the prescription now is aligned with when they're going to get their telephone appointment.
Wonderful.
So that's how we generate the list. So we generate the list from who's due the prescription. So they're getting telephoned at the time their prescription is due.
So just to clarify, Nicola, this is for patients that have possibly been on the medications for
over
a year already. Yeah.
Over
and
a year.
They're doing well and yeah. No problems.
So these were
et
over
cetera.
A year.
Yeah.
So they have a. I did a traffic light checklist with the standard questions. I definitely narrowed them down. When you look at the checklist that we should be asking, that's the very old, that's based on very old evidence, the risks aren't there. So we've got a very streamlined questionnaire, but it opens up the possibility. So if they're doing amazingly well, they've had their bloods done in the 12-month period and they're assessed as very happy, they tick green and we generate the prescription.
Okay.
If for some reason they say something to us that actually we're not happy with, what we've done is myself and the consultant have kept some appointment slots for them to be seen face to face. And they're seen very quickly. They're probably seen quicker than they would have done had they rung up and said they were having a problem. Because actually what we've done, we've kept some slots. And one of the secretaries, I give her the list of the few patients that need a face-to-face review.
Mm-hmm.
They're booked in straight away. So they're probably seen, if they need to be seen very quickly, they're seen quickly. If it's something that can wait a month or so, then that's what we do. But we're keeping specific slots for those patients to be seen face to face. And the secretary rings them up and books them in. So it's done very quickly. So yeah, and then if not, the last question is, are you happy for a telephone call in a year's time? We've had a couple of patients who probably got some learning needs, some communication issues, something particular. They'd actually said, please, can I have a face-to-face? Of course you can. But
yeah.
You can imagine for a lot of these younger patients who are on these advanced therapies, who are fit and well, who are working full-time,
this
is
ideal.
It's a godsend for them. When I worked out how much, because we obviously have to be environmentally conscious as well, I've actually worked out how much emissions we've saved as well from patients not having to come in and pay for car parking, travel in a car, travel on the bus and things like that. And because of our population is very rural, some of them, the road structure in Devon and Cornwall is quite special. Yeah. And public transport can be an issue as well. It also helps them that way.
Yeah, that's a massive thing, because even working in a city or town, hospitals are always in the middle. So it's so difficult.
And the parking
to get
and what, because we've used, I'm the hub, we're using a mixture of healthcare's, band fives, band sixes. They love it. They absolutely love it, because it's another task they're doing. They're learning a different skill and it's contact with patients. So the feedback from the staff partaking in the clinic is they really enjoy it.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah,
that's
they
positive.
Really enjoy it. So you're teaching them something new. They're learning something and now they've done it a few times. They're experts at it.
So you've got. Do you like a whole day or like an afternoon?
No, just an afternoon. It's a Wednesday afternoon.
So you've got your afternoon. How many patients roughly do you see in that afternoon?
So when it very first started, it was between 40 and 50 patients done in like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
It was, we were getting through quite a lot. But because the prescriptions are now kicking in for the yearly prescriptions, the clinics have got a bit shorter. So we're probably doing about 25 patients in that afternoon. But what we've also done is then free up a CNS at the same time to do some of the 16-week reviews. So running alongside the rapid poly stable patients telephone clinic, we're actually those patients that are new starters, we can then book them in and she's doing those 16-week reviews.
Make sure they're okay.
So it's like a poly afternoon in a way. but that's what she's doing. So that's running alongside this. So it's freed up that capacity where we were really struggling to think, where do we put those 16-week reviews? And sometimes they weren't even getting them. They were getting them in 5 or 6 months rather than at the actual crucial point.
Yeah, it's true.
So by doing this, we're already seeing we've freed up one of our nurses to do that 16-week review clinic. And we're also seeing our waiting times come down, because it means that the consultant who was sitting doing all these virtual signings and stuff has now been time freed up to be able to do some new patients.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to your biologics, you've still got your sort of new patients coming in and they would get their normal appointment. And then you've got your 16-week, like you explained, and then possibly if they're okay.
The six-monthly one.
That's fine.
So we're trying to do the new 16 weeks, then the 6 month
then,
one. And then at 6 months, that's when we say in a year's time. But they can always ring up. We always say to them, you know, don't wait a year. If it's not working or you're having an issue or you're something, just ring up.
Have you
us
got
or
a
email
specific,
in.
Have you got a specific like hotline for biologics or is it just through your normal admin?
It's just through the normal admin team, but so they have got, they will just direct it to the correct inbox.
Okay. And you mentioned that your prescriptions are obviously a yearly, that which is great. We do yearly as well. That makes such a difference. So when it comes to the yearly prescriptions and your senior patient, how do you align that? Is that through your HCA that's been doing that?
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. So when the list comes through from the home care the home care teams, they send you a list, don't they, of who's now due. We're using that list to book these polyclinic appointments. So it's now starting to all match up. So then when they've done a telephone and they're safe, we then book them for a review in 11 months time for a telephone. So we know eventually it's going to take, it takes a good 6 to 8 months for this to get catch up and rolling. But we're now seeing it starting to align because we've been doing it for that 6 month period now. We're seeing that alignment. So then the prescription is due as we're ringing them, and then it goes through to e-sign, and either myself or the consultant sign the e-prescription, knowing the patient's had that review.
Brilliant. And do you do like a virtual sort of PASI or EASY or DLQI? Do you, you know, do you get any specifics like that?
No, we, it's because that's quite hard, isn't it, to do. But the questions that we've got on the checklist would probably tell you if there's a warning that actually they need to be seen and that this needs to be done.
So just
I've targeted some questions. Is your skin clear? You know, you know, those sorts of questions. So the patients will feedback. And if it's not, then we bring them in face to face.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, eventually if AI catches up or, you know, we're still in the dark ages on handwritten notes here. Eventually, you know, if the NHS app and they can start doing a DLQI and a PASI themselves, which I know, I think in London, they're trying to do that because they've got the, you know, resources. We haven't got those resources and we have to be realistic with it. But eventually, you know, like a GPs are using a lot of the text messages and stuff. Is that something, because I did speak to the Psoriasis Association and the A-STAR, can it be done through their app where the patient could feed that information and it'd be attached to their records?
Yeah.
I don't, I'm an old lady. You know, is that something that could happen and then it gets attached to the records? We go live with Epic soon. I don't know. Let's see what happens. I've been told good luck. Is that something that the patients could then do themselves?
We've got to give the onus back to the patients. No, I agree totally. And I think, you know, we're spending
We've had too long where we're holding these patients and, you know, we feel we have to do all this accountability and everything. GPs don't do that. You know, if you go to your GP, they give you a medicine. They're not going to ring you back in a couple of to see if you're all right. They expect you to take the ownership to contact them. Contact them if there's a problem. So we need to think a bit more like that. The owner is on the patient. If they're having a problem, to ring you, you know, not wait a year. Or expect to see them every 3 months, which some sites are still doing their biologics and seeing these patients every 3 months, because that's based on the old 2000 and whatever it was data that came out. So think about it. Let the patient have that responsibility and ring you if they're having a problem.
Yeah. And it is troublesome for patients to take, you know, especially the self-employed, or to be honest, if they're not even self, you know, to get to a busy hospital.
We know how busy we are getting an appointment for ourselves. You know, we work long days. You've got an appointment. I was like, for example, I had a screening mammogram the other day. So I put it in my lunch break. But obviously I have to go face to face for that. So it's just things like that. It's really hard. These patients working long days, work far away from the hospital. If a telephone call will suffice, and from the data, I've done this, it's going to be a poster at BAD, and it's gone to GERFT now. I've done an interview with GERFT. So Nick Lavelle's very keen on this because he thinks all sites should be doing this. This isn't just dermatology that could do this, rheumatology. You think of the other people that use these medications. It could go much bigger.
And well done. The world congratulations on that.
GERFT are very interesting, and VAD, there's a poster for BAD. So I'm hoping, and we also I've spoken to what's Elena, is it Professor Karen Smith? They're hoping to do a rapid review through the BAD because they know that people are doing this sort of things, and I think they need to make it official so people then feel more safe and comfortable that actually the guideline says XYZ. So hopefully, if they can do a rapid review and give us a much more up-to-date starting checklist, a much more up-to-date. So it's all right me developing it, but I think it would be really good if the BAD and GIRFD can take this on board. Then it's just not Nutty Nicola down in Plymouth doing it. You know,
It's
that actually,
fantastic.
but we need, but feeding from the data from Bad Beer and ASTAR, we just know these novel therapies are different. I can absolutely understand 15 years ago when they started these new medications, everybody was like, oh, these are new, what's the outcomes, what the outcome's going to be. But we know from those registers, both nationally and internationally, that nobody's seeing these spikes of cancer, that nobody's seeing these spikes. And we're giving a lot of them to pregnant ladies now, for example. So, yes, I think we need to look at the evidence that's come out. Let's do a rapid review. Let's get a validated list out there that's user-friendly, that looks at the service as a modern service and how many patients are now on these therapies.
And it's going to just extend, isn't it? Because we're already looking at getting them on biosimilars a lot earlier. Because I mean, they're cheaper at the end of the day. We're not doing
Much
all the
cheaper than
blood
cyclosporine and
monitoring.
much cheaper, yes.
Absolutely. So going back to the basics, going back to, for example, blood tests, how does that work? How are you running the blood tests in your clinic?
So once they've been on it a year, we ask them to have their pathology done once a year. But do you see any changes on novel therapies? Not
Not really.
particularly. But actually, it's pharmacy that get a bit twitchy. And I get, because the guidance hasn't changed. And pharmacists love a guidance. So until guidance changes, we ask them to get it done once a year. And actually, by doing this telephone call, the girls come back in the room, the ones that don't have access to the blood system. And I actually send the girls back and say, I will hold their prescription until their bloods are done. It's funny that patients are now getting their blood. So those ones they've been chasing for long periods of time because the prescription was just being signed because they were just coping, they're actually now having their bloods done because they're having that into immediate reaction. The girls are ringing them straight back and saying, we're holding your prescription until you get your bloods done. It's not, it's once a year. So the patients are getting them done and ringing us back straight away. So actually, it's safer.
Absolutely.
So they're having them done once a
100%
year. Because actually, yes, it might not be that we're looking for screening for, you know, for the medication. But sometimes if you see somebody with high cholesterol and things like off to the GP, because we know those comorbidities with psoriasis. But they're actually, we think of them as our sort of ownership and our responsibility, but we actually should be saying, you've got a cardiovascular risk. Your GP needs to know this. GPs are paid for doing those cardiovascular risk assessments. We're not. But if you pick it up, you can say you need to see your GP for that cardiovascular risk assessment for that inflammatory pathways. If you pick up, oh, my joints are starting, we can send them straight to rheumatology. So I think doing it this way, we're getting more patients complying with
I just
follow-ups
see
and getting their bloods done because
I
it's.
can understand that. Yeah, totally. That it would be more, I mean, it is definitely more streamlined, and I think the focus is on the patient as well, which can make a huge impact. Totally. And you'd mentioned about comorbidities, and we know that, we do pick up things. And you mentioned, I was actually going to specifically ask about the joints. So when you are doing your phone call, is there sort of questions related to, like, for example, the pest or the
Yeah,
joint
we haven't
issues?
actually done that yet, but I would hope that that's been done. Because we know, you know, at the beginning in their first year, because you know with psoriasis, if it's something, it's going to be at the beginning. Because actually, if it's, the joint disease starts later on, it's more likely to be different onset of inflammatory osteoarthritis, for example, rather than inflammatory arthritis, which would normally present very early on in the disease process. So, you know, if patients are getting disease after they've been on this medication for some considerable time, and because these drugs work for, you know, for psoriatic arthritis, if they're going to get some joint problems, it's that bad knee, that bad back. That's probably older age onset joint disease than actually the one we really concern about with the nail changes and stuff. But that's normally should be picked up earlier in that year because they, by the time they get to us with psoriasis, by the time they've been through the GP process and got to us, you would expect to have seen those warning signs, you know, the high impact, those specific areas we're looking for. I'd anticipate that should be done at the very beginning of their journey.
Fabulous. And how do you deal with the basics, you know, like your emollients and your corticosteroids and things, you know, if they have a flare in their scalp, for example, yep, or on the knee, for example? I mean, how does that work? Do you go through your GP or are you prescribing?
So if they're picking stuff up when we're ringing them, possibly we'll bring them face to face. But if it's something, because I call it the lush effect, especially with our AD patients, they're on their advanced therapy. It's been working brilliantly. They forget.
Yes.
The basics.
Yes. Yeah, they
so
do.
The girls that are ringing them, because it's mainly girls here, sorry, that are ringing them, are actually really good because a lot of them are the phototherapy nurses.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's another skill for the phototherapy. So a lot of them are the phototherapy nurses who are actually my band fives and sixes that are ringing these patients. So their knowledge of emollients and stuff like that is great anyway. So very often, well, I'm having a little bit of a flare. Well, what are you actually doing? You know, are you just relying on that advanced therapy or are you having a bit of flare? So rather than, I was finding people were jumping ship too quick. Oh, well, that one's not working. Let's jump ship really quickly. That might not just be the right thing. Actually, sometimes, so my girls will speak to them and say, have you stopped using your emollients? Have you started going shopping in Lush? What are you actually, you know, for example, there are other smelly products out there, but that's what they sometimes do because they get so good, they forget the basics. Yeah. So because the phototherapy girls are quite good at asking, what are you actually doing? Then they might just come back to the hub. They'll come back to me and say, we think this, and we'll just bring them in. And it might just be a lesson of just going through the basics again with them, or if they're having a scalp flare, or it could be something different. So if they highlight anything, they'll come in.
Come in. Because you do. I mean, it's only natural as well. Patients have more clear skin. They've had years of putting on topicals.
Yeah. And they don't want to do it. And they forget.
They don't. Yeah. And they've all got lives. So, you know, we understand.
And they start buying pretty things.
Of course they do.
And they come in, they've got all their eyelashes done, they've got their nails done, and you're like, oh. But anyway.
We're all exposed to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another couple of basic questions when it comes to your prescribing and when it comes to your logistics of your trust. Do you do anything like Blue Tech or two sort of questions?
Ours is Blue Tech at the beginning.
Okay. And not continuation.
It doesn't ask us. Once they're on it, they're not asked every year to do. I know some trusts have to do it every single year, which I think is really hard work. If the ICBs have put that practice in place, that's really onerous on the staff. It should just be, if we need to change it, let's change it. I sit on the border of Devon and Cornwall. We're right on the border. They're supposed to be amalgamating as an ICB. Who knows what's happening with NHS England? Let's all throw it up in the air and wait and see. But Devon Blue Tech is much less onerous. So they've actually taken off most of the biosimilars. They're not even on Blue Tech. Quite a lot of my IL-23s aren't even on there. So when they've been around for a long period of time, they seem to drop off and you don't even have to fill in the Blue Tech. And we know with the cost of the biosimilars now, they're just not even on there. Yeah. Cornwall, bless their cotton socks. Like War and Peace on why you're starting a biologic, slightly different. But if they do merge, I'm hoping they go more towards the Devon side. So you can see even there, starting the Blue Tech has starting to see, actually it should just be the brand new high cost ones that are just coming out. That's what it's for.
Yes.
Not those ones that have been around for a long period of time. So, and obviously everybody's different because there's local agreements for the cost of these high cost drugs. So I just, yes. But no, we don't have that annual review for the medications we use. There may be some others in the trust, I'm guessing in the cancer world and stuff like that might be very different. But for our side, no, once they're on it, we've got a Blue Tech number, that's their number and they keep it.
Good. Yeah, I know. I think more trusts are kind of going down that route. Definitely ones that do Blue Tech. Yeah. And I think it makes a whole difference. And do you do the Blue Tech or is that from...
We do it.
You do it.
Yeah, I do it. Yeah, because it should be done at the time because I put the number on the prescription, on their first prescription.
Yeah.
So I just do it when I start a patient.
Fantastic.
Some of the doctors.
What, you have a doctor doing a Blue Tech? Does that happen?
They're starting to now because I stand at the end of the corridor. So they are starting to do them a bit better. But they're realising if you just do it at the time of the appointment, then you don't get that email from pharmacy and it's not delaying the patient care. So just do it. Even if you do it at the end of your clinic, they don't take long. Apart from the Cornwall, everybody always goes, oh, is it a Cornwall patient? You can see everybody going, oh, because they like War and Peace. But if it's a Devon patient, actually, it doesn't take long.
That's so good. Just I know do it. Makes sense.
Then you're not going to get five emails from pharmacy saying, please fill in the blue tick. Just do it then and there. It's so much quicker. And it's better for the patient. It won't delay the prescription.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Yeah. So you've talked about your very, I would say, slick service. It does seem to make sense, definitely. And I think congratulations, Nicola, because this has been your work and you've done amazing. And I think it will grow arms and legs. And I think other trusts will definitely engage in this. But there is a but. Have you had any challenges? Have you had any sort of issues that you have had to overcome?
Challenges. So pharmacy have been great. They've not really challenged it there because we went there first.
Well,
so we
done.
Sort of overcome that holder. Our challenges are, so I don't think it's in this room, I had a whiteboard with me every single clinic when we first started this, and I put the good, the bad and the ugly. So what we did is when they were ringing patients, the checklist needed changing. The types of patients, we were getting some admin errors. They were booking some 16-weekers into the clinic. We were getting a couple of DNA, different sort of things like that. So what we did, we used this, my whiteboard, and I got them to write if patients liked it, what they didn't like, or what the staff liked, what the staff didn't like, what they thought could be done better. So it's that plan, do, study, act. So every clinic where we thought, you know what, that didn't quite work, it wasn't, the patients weren't aligned, all sorts of things like that, then we would write them on the board and then we would change it before the next clinic. So it's been a very quick, rapid succession of plan, do, study, act. So rather than hit challenges, we've addressed them quickly and immediately. Yeah. So yes, there has been things that we've had to change. Like there was a couple of questions on the checklist. There was some of the staff didn't have access to systems, to be able to look and arrive them. Just little things like that. There were some more admin type things rather than clinical challenges. The clinical challenges are a win. You come in to see the consultant next week. Because we'd already planned for that. But it was sort of admin side. And this is why I think a biologic coordinator from an admin side that could own this would have taken that out in the first place. But obviously we didn't have one. So we've done this as we've gone along. So they're more admin challenges than they are clinical challenges.
Yeah.
And the stuff that goes on in the background. So if it was quite a lot of work for the business team to book these patients and things like that. And this is why I want an admin person to be able to do that, so it takes the workload off the business team for booking these patients. But they've got a slick at it now, forgive me, they're amazing. It was chaos to start with.
Get better,
And the checklist is just scanned, and they have to scan the checklist and then put it on their record. I think Epic might change that. There might be I don't even know what it looks like. So that's going to be our challenge. So Epic is, because we've got slick, we've got really good. I've got a horrible suspicion in June. We're not going to be a slick because Epic's going to come in. And I don't know if that's going to happen. That's going to be my biggest challenge. So these are admin challenges, not clinical challenges.
Yeah. And I think as well, once, you get used to Epic, it'll calm down. It's just that initial, isn't it?
It's going to be that initial blip. So we'll just make the clinic smaller so we know that we can master it, and then we'll build them back up again.
Yeah.
But, the consultant who does a lot of the signing of these prescriptions, who are biologic lead, she says she just can't believe how much more relaxed she feels because she knows when she's signing these prescriptions, there's been that touch base with the patient.
Brilliant.
At the that right time. So she feels reassured. She feels safer. Her job plan's now going to be slightly changed to, as I say, include seeing more new patients. And then she also spoke to me the other day because she's now obviously seeing those patients that were booking if they've got a problem. And she sees, these are the patients I should be seeing.
Yeah.
So instead of having a clinic of 10, 12 lovely patients that are doing brilliantly on biologics, which is lovely. That's a nice, you know, appointment. She's now seeing the ones that actually need her input. They're having problems. They're having complications. And because she does a joint rheumatology clinic, she can put them into that clinic. So she's seeing those patients that genuinely need a consultant input.
She's seeing the right patients at the end of the day, isn't she?
This is what GERFD is. It's the right time, right patient to the right person. And then and she's been able to solve their problems quickly, whether it's changing therapy, to whatever she's done. She said, I'm now seeing the patients I should be seeing in that clinic.
Yeah, and I can understand the relief she must be experiencing.
Yeah. She said the relief is immense. It just feels so much better.
Oh, well done. And is she the one that's solely responsible for prescriptions, or is there any of your team that do the prescriptions as
No, we can all sign the prescriptions. So, because when I did come to the team, they didn't understand that they could sign them. So that was quite a challenge, you know, because it was just an old-fashioned way of thinking. And they thought only the consultant could sign biologic prescriptions.
Right.
No, any prescriber with the competence to sign that, of course they can sign them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
As long as they've got the competence to sign it. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a lot less risks, definitely.
Yeah, and there's a lot less risk. Because they've spoken to the patient. They've seen the patient. Why are you not signing the prescription?
Yeah.
So and they're now confident and happy with doing that.
It seems like you've really, you know, overhauled the whole system, but in a really positive way, positive for the staff, positive for the patient. You know, you're not wasting time. You've got all your resources in there.
Yeah.
You've got your little gaps in. How many gaps do you have? How many, like, you know, when you said you can slot patients in, do you have an allocated
time? We're keeping
time?
About 4 to 6 probably slots, and that because that's all we've needed, because from these clinics we're now seeing 80 to 85% of these patients are happy and safe. There's only a very few that want to be seen.
4 to 6 patients, is that per week?
Per week-ish. Out of the clinic I did last week, there was nobody.
Brilliant.
Nobody needed to be seen.
Yeah, so it just shows you, I think it'll probably improve as you go along as well.
It will, because we'll be the patients that on those clinics will be the ones that can stay on that clinic.
Yeah, and before we close this podcast today as well, one other quick question in regards to research. How does it work with Bad Beer and A-Star? How do you follow up those patients? And I know there's resources that patients can do them online, but, you know, do you still have to see these patients face-to-face?
So, unfortunately for Bad Beer, we've lost a lot of research team here, so they had to put a hold on the Bad Beer patients. They've just seeing up the ones that have been on it from the very beginning, but we haven't started anybody new on Bad Beer because we just haven't had a clinician's resource because we're so short on clinical staff, but also the research team have been hit hard, so we decided that we're not putting anybody new onto Bad Beer because of there isn't the clinical staff and there isn't the time. I'm A-Star. I just started A-Star here because I'm the PI, so I think A-Star is more flexible in its approach because it's what would you do that's routine for you? So it's fine. So once they've after been on it a year, then they just have an annual review, and that fits into the A-Star model because that's got that flexibility. So what's standard practice for your area? Bad Beer is quite harder because it's a bit more rigid. But as I say, we're not open for Bad Beer just at the minute because I don't have a clinician and I don't have the research team.
Yeah. And I suppose for A-Star as well, you know, it is standard what you're doing with the 16 weeks and, you know.
Yeah.
You
so we're doing a year and then after that, it's a year. So,
yeah.
So it does fit in with their model.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And if they're an A-Star patient, they'd be booked to be seen face to face.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, and if it was an A-Star patient, then we just have them on a clinic. But if they're only been seen once a year, the onus is gone, hasn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Well done. Yeah, no, it sounds really, really good. And the great news for our listeners today is as well that Nicola will be talking more about this on our Biologics Day as well. She's going to be speaking in person, face-to-face. So again, if anyone wants to ask any questions.
And at conference as well.
And at conference as well.
And at conference as well, yeah.
And you've got your poster for the BAD, so anyone that's going to BAD will also. And I think, as you say, it's just going to grow arms and legs, Nicola. It's a fantastic, absolutely fantastic project that you've done. And, you know, it has been, it will definitely, I'm sure, be taken on nationally as well, because it just totally makes sense. It totally makes sense.
It does in my head.
It does. It really does. It really does. And it's so positive, and I'm so pleased for you as well. And your patients are getting excellent care, which is fabulous. Is there any key aspects you'd just like to say to our listeners before we close this podcast today?
I think if you're going to do something like this, embrace pharmacy first, go through the drugs
Yes.
and therapeutics, get that prescription to a year before you then, but you must plan, do, and study it. So you're going to come across those admin errors and stuff like that, but embrace the team around you, include them, and listen to them. You have to listen to the others around you. It's all right me starting this project and owning it, but the whole department now feels that they own it. So if they come across a problem, on the whiteboard it goes, and then we initial and change it. So it's been a cycle, but I embrace the team around you because everybody has different skill sets and everybody sees the different things that might work better, that we could stop doing and things like that. So work with the team around you.
Yes, I love you've embraced the team, which is great. That these nurses will be totally,
They love it.
yeah, I can understand that because
And the
again,
phototherapy nurses love it.
yeah, because very specifically in the past, it's always been a biologic nurse or a
And they probably
biologic
know the patient
consultant.
because they've
Yeah.
been phototherapy nurses. They know the patients because they'll have probably seen them in phototherapy. So they
Yeah.
probably know those patients anyway as well. So they've really enjoyed it.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
they really enjoy
great.
it.
That's great. Well, congratulations once again, Nicola, and thank you
Thank you.
very much for all your information today. And I'm sure our listeners today will definitely be asking lots of questions and
Questions,
really
but we'll be
impressive.
there in June, won't we? Face to face. They need to come
We
along to
will.
that day and to be really good.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely wonderful. Thanks again, Nicola. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.